the notes that are in the back of the bulletin so you can follow along. Hopefully you have that, or as well as you have the notepad in the back that you can take notes and see what the Lord is continuing to move you in this week as we continue to study as a church, as a global church as we're going. How is God directing us? Today, and we're going to be reading in Philippians 2, 19 through 24, and I titled it Like-Hearted is the title of this passage or message. Today we're going to see two themes stand out, two of them. One's going to be discipleship and one's going to be growth. Discipleship and growth. If you'd like to stand with me, if you're able and like to, I'm going to read Philippians 2, 19 through 24. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send you Timothy to you shortly, so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving a father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will be coming shortly. Thank you, Lord, for the word that we have today to be encouraged by. Paul's life and Timothy's life, Lord, you have truths to draw us to you in a deeper way. Lord, may we see those today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, last week we talked about Paul, his heart for people and his sharing of the gospel was a sold-out purpose, that it was such a sold-out that he compared himself as a drink offering. And that drink offering was poured out on the altar after the sacrifice, but it was came in, and the image that we saw of the Messiah coming from the temple in onto the sacrificial offer, so that we can move into this relationship, into the tabernacle where God is. And we looked at that last week, that Paul he pours himself out like Jesus, a sacrifice, 100% sacrifice, totally given away for others and for God. Now today we're going to see the extension of this heart that Paul has with Timothy, because we're going to see his pastoral heart, that he wants to put somebody that he trusts that's going to continue in furtherance the gospel that he's sharing, the truth that he's sharing with the church, that is going to be somebody who has their interest in mind to draw them and push them into the Savior's presence. He won't send somebody he won't just send anyone, but he's going to send somebody who will teach the truth of God's word, not out of selfish purposes. He's not going to send, not one will be that's going to be influenced by people around him, telling him what to do and what to hear, but he's going to stand firm on God's truth. Someone that has a relationship with God and wants to listen for God's voice and obey that voice. That's the type of person that Paul's going to be sending. That's who Timothy is. Paul knows him personally, relationally with him. They've been through journeys together. They've been through the goods and the bads together. Paul knows what Timothy's like. The people, even in Philippi, know that he is a person who has good character, who is true, who stands on God's word and is faithful. We're going to see this disciple, mentor, coach that Paul is. It's extremely important that Paul sends somebody with the same heart. He doesn't want to send somebody to a place that he is sharing a particular truth and then this person is going to come in and is going to unravel all of that. He's going to take what God has shared through Paul and say, okay, now I can do my own thing and destroy what I want. I'm going to put my own opinions in there. I'm going to do what I want to do and twist this around. He's going to send somebody with the same heart, the same mindset. That's who he's going to send. That's who Timothy is for him. If Paul sends somebody with a selfish heart, it's going to create a selfish culture. It's going to create a culture inside a church, inside a body of people that is going to slowly but steadily turn them away from Jesus. Look out for your own interests. See what you need. Get your own self satisfied, and then maybe go out and help other people. Maybe that might be a teaching that this person might bring, if they're not of the same mind that Paul's already been sharing with the Philippians. And they won't represent God's character. They'll be other than that. So when you're reading when you're listening to TV evangelists or reading in commentaries or reading in other people's writings, when you're hearing people share God's word, understand where they're coming from. Get to know them. Know their heart. What drives them? What is it that's behind their teaching? Because if they're not teaching what Paul is sharing from God's word, they might be sharing something of their own interests. And you might not even realize it. It'd be twisted and turned. And then later on down the road, you might look back and say, man, I'm not sure where I've actually been right now. Because I've been listening to a man's teaching that's turned me away from God's teaching. Just be careful when you listen and when you open up a commentary and when you absorb what people are saying as truth. Take it back into the Word. That's with Jim coming, one of the reasons why I asked him to come was so that we would see how important it is to dig into God's Word. Why it is important to go verse by verse, line by line, word for word, trying to get the context out of what Scripture's saying. So that when we do come across somebody in the world that's teaching or a friend who's sharing that has that likes a certain Bible teachers, that you can say, well, let's talk about this a little bit deeper. Do you believe that just simply because they said it, or do you believe it because that's what the Word of God says? And where do you get that in the Word of God? Let's talk about that a little bit deeper so we can understand it. You know, we were talking in our class today. We had a great class, great, great Sunday morning class today. I encourage you to go to the Sunday morning classes. They're designed to help grow us deeper in Christ. And one of the things that we talked about was that we can read a book, and it's helpful if they have Bible verses along with that to kind of support why their ideas are what they're thinking. But then that's nice, but they can also take that Bible verse out of context. So I need to go back and read the context of where that Bible verse is taken from. But then ultimately I got to go back and say, okay, is the words that I'm reading in English, how do they come out of the Greek and Hebrew? And then when I pull them out of the Greek and Hebrew, how does that fit in the culture of the time that they're reading to in all of that? Does that sound like a lot? Does that sound like a lot? It sure is a lot. But if you want to know the Word of God, if you want to know God's character, that's what we got to do. If you came throughout the week, that's what you heard, isn't it? And I see the heads shaking for those who I saw were able to come. That's the purpose. Dig deeper. We might say, I don't know Hebrew or Greek. That's a little bit out of my element. Well, just try. Try. Pull up get some books that talk about the culture. Dig deeper. We will get as much of God as we want. And I encourage you to do that because you don't want to be in a place where you're absorbing what other people say because they've done maybe that study deeply and you're accepting their words as if it's the only way or it's the truth of it is. And then find out later, maybe they interpreted it wrong. Maybe they looked at it wrong. I'd much rather make that own mistake myself than take somebody else's word for it and follow their mistake. Finding Timothy, this is how Paul and Timothy came across each other in Acts 16:1. Paul came also to Derbe in Lystra, and the disciples, and there was a disciple there, his name was Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So we already have this marriage that would be mixed of a Jew and a Greek, and he's already put on the outs a little bit in college. He doesn't fit in one culture, doesn't fit in the other one, but yet he is a disciple of Jesus, and he was a well-spoken of the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. So he had a lifestyle that he presented to people that people looked at him and said, "This guy's for real." He just doesn't talk the talk, but he actually walks the walk. He walks with Jesus. Paul wanted this man to go with him. Paul was impressed by this guy. And he took him and circumcised him because the Jews who were in those parts where they were going to be going, they all knew that his father was a Greek. That was a very important thing at that point for them. So Paul was impressed with Timothy, his heart. Paul's heart that he decided to ask him to come with him, and he respected because of that respect that he had from all the believers around. Paul was selective on who he picked. Is this a person that I hear what they're saying about him? I see his character. I see what he does. I understand. I know his mom. Could this be a person that I could walk with and do ministry with that has a like-minded heart, that wants to further the gospel for the right with the right purposes? Timothy was eager to go with Paul, and he was absolutely honored. Wouldn't it be an honor if Paul, the apostle, comes up and says, "Hey, would you come with me? Will you come and walk with me to share the gospel around the world?" Wouldn't that be a pretty neat thing? He showed his devotion by accepting the role, and it showed that God's purpose in Timothy's life. God used Paul to show a purpose in somebody else's life. He spoke into that person. "Come. I want to give you opportunity. I want you to walk with me. But before you do that, you're going to have to go through a very painful process. I want you to be circumcised." The foreskin being cut off is not very pleasant. Man would not be able to walk for a few days. Very painful as an adult. It might be something unpleasant to talk about, but it's real. And if you want to get the picture of the devotion that somebody has, like Timothy, you must understand that he said, "I will sacrifice whatever for Jesus." Can you say that of yourself today? "I'll sacrifice whatever for Jesus, even if that means pain to my personal body. And I'm doing it on purpose so that I will follow Christ because he asked me to do that." Would we do that? Is a question we have to ask ourselves. Does God give you a purpose? Yes. Has he shown his purpose to you in your life that it's to such a degree that you say, "I will surrender it all for him and go in that direction"? Well, that's what Paul did. Timothy did. Because Timothy wanted other people to know this Messiah. He didn't want to hinder others from knowing him. So he said, "If that's going to be a problem, I'm going to take it away. If the Greeks won't listen to me, or the Jews won't listen to me because I'm not circumcised, then Paul, so be it. If it's going to let Jesus be known, let's do it." Amazing. An amazing man. So Paul's going to take him under his wing, and he's going to start to mentor and disciple him and share the truth even deeper with him. Some of Paul's studies, he's going to share those out with him. One of the great experiences, if you have a mentor, you get to do that. Jim is that mentor for me, and I appreciate it so much. When there's a point of scripture, I'm like, "Jim, I just don't get this. I can't figure it out." I ask for his help. He takes me to the Hebrew. He takes me to the Greek. Shows me how this fits in. I said, "Thanks. It helps me out." That's what he does for me, because I've asked him to be a mentor years ago. Help me when I need help. So Paul is going to speak into Timothy when Timothy needs help understanding something. He's going to share his insights with him. And Timothy's going to be sharing back his insights with him as well. And they're going to be this encouragement back and forth. But Paul is going to share his relationship with God with Timothy as he asks him to come and walk with him to understanding the scriptures, his successes and his failures, what I missed when I was a Pharisee, what I understood after I came to know Jesus as my Savior, and how to hear God's voice. How to hear God's voice. Because Paul would have been walking, understanding that Jesus is speaking to him in the Spirit. Because Jesus said, "I'm going to give you my Spirit. He's going to be the helper. He's going to take and guide you and lead you." So he's listening. Wouldn't you like to have somebody like Paul to say, "Hey, Paul, how did you hear? How did you hear God's voice? How did you know he wanted you to go to Macedonia? How did you know he didn't want you to go to India? How did you know these things? What was it? What was it that? How did God speak those little things to you so that you understood this and now you can walk in the direction he wants you to go in? Did you find it out hindsight, or was it something that you saw along the way? What was it like?" Well, Paul's not the only one who can do that. Anybody who's walking with Jesus and talks with him in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, who spends time with God, those are the people that are listening for God's voice. Who is that in your life? Do you have somebody like that in your life? If you don't, I'm sorry. I do feel sorry because you're walking alone in many ways. Because if you're not able to hear God's voice as he's speaking to you in Scripture, as he's talking with you and leading you in daily life, who are you listening to? Friends? Family? It can be a struggle at that point. Look to somebody who you see that has a walk with Jesus and ask them, will you be my mentor? Will you help me? Will you coach with me? Will you walk with me? We have a group that's here that it's called Iron Sharpens Iron. And it's men that get together individually who want to walk closer with Jesus, who want to surrender their whole lives to Christ, to encourage each other to do that and to continue to do that. So we're 100% surrendered completely, continually. Because the world wants to take back, the flesh wants to take that back. If you're interested in being in a group like that, let me know. Let me know. Paul is following Jesus' his example. He went out and chose the disciple he wanted to follow. During the day of Jesus, the rabbi, they wouldn't go out and they wouldn't choose the disciples. They would have the student would want to come and talk to them and say, hey, Rabbi, can I be your student? And it was a place of boasting. Well, I have 20 students who want to be want me to be the rabbi. How many do you have? Oh, 3, okay. Talk to me when you get up to 21. But I'm only going to choose 3 of all the 20 because I want the best. Because they're going to be my students. So if they're going to be the best in my students, then they're going to be the smartest. I'm going to pick the smartest one. I'm going to pick the most good-looking one. I'm going to pick the most eloquent one. Then you can have the rest. Because they're going to represent who I am. But Jesus didn't do that. He went out and he picked the disciples, didn't he? He went against the cultural norm and said, you know what? I have a purpose and a plan. I see in your life, and I want to take you from where you're at and what you think you are. I'm going to show you who you can be in me. Isn't that exciting? That's what Jesus does for each one of us. He's given each one a purpose, and each one has a plan, and he's given to you in your life, and we have to walk with him. Lord, where do you want me to go in this? Because he said, follow me, disciples. He didn't say, hey, this is what I think you should do. Go do it. He said, follow me now. And I will show you. And that's what he's asking each one of us to do. And as we walk and we follow and we go with him, we see this transition that takes place, just like Paul. Paul becomes the teacher, the rabbi that says, okay, who am I going to pick? Who am I going to go out and select to follow me? Because how often do we go out and ask people anyways, will you disciple me? Isn't it kind of, in one sense, it's like, it's a humble thing, isn't it? Okay, I don't know. So I need you to teach me, right? So I got to accept my ignorance because I need somebody else to teach me better. And especially in those times of our lives when I think in Christianity, where somebody has been a believer from maybe a young age or maybe they've been a believer for 20 years, and we go, well, you should already know that answer, shouldn't you? And we're going, I don't really know that one. And I don't want anybody to know, because if they know that, then they think I might be stupid or I'm just ignorant. And maybe they might think that I don't even really know God himself anyways. Because I might ask some question. I might have to surrender some I don't knows. Isn't that true? So we might not even ask somebody to come and help us to learn more. It's a part of life. It's part of humanity. Selfishness that becomes pride. I won't ask anybody for help because I think I can get this on my own. Sometimes we need to do things on our own. God tells us that. But sometimes we need help with other people. But Paul takes away that pride barrier. And that's what Jesus does too. He says, I'm going to come and reach out. And I'm going to ask, would you like me to walk with you? Would you like me to be a mentor to you? Would you like me to be your rabbi to teach you and take you along? How many people is going to say, nah, forget it? If you don't want it, you're going to say no. But if you are looking for somebody to give you direction in life and to help you walk through life, you're going to say, yeah, I like that. I'll take it. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. And that's what Timothy did for responding to Paul. because he wants to build this relationship. He wants Timothy to have this deep relationship with Jesus and living an example. So Paul knows that spending time with someone that lives a life that's that you're going to be able to see the heart of the person. Now, Paul has already written a letter to the Philippians, and he's telling them inside this letter, I'm going to be sending you Timothy as soon as I absolutely possibly can. So we don't know how long it was exactly that he was able to come after that. But he wants Timothy to demonstrate what he's writing in the book already. So Timothy's going to go, and he's going to demonstrate the characteristics already up to chapter 2, verse 18. He's going to demonstrate that for the people, and he's going to reinforce everything that Paul's been teaching to the people. In 1 Timothy 1:3, he says, I trust Timothy so much that I've sent him to other places. 1 Timothy 1:3 says, I urge you upon my departure in Macedonia, remain on in Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men to not teach strange doctrines. Just a reinforcement of that. Paul, in his walk with Timothy, said, hey, as a mentor, teacher, friend, I'm sending you off because I trust you that you are going to continue in the teaching that I've already shared with you. That's scriptural. That's sound. So that other people will not be taken away to false doctrine, because we've already set this church in Ephesus and we want to keep this church going in the right direction. Because once the church stops going in the right direction with sound teaching, it's going to eventually fall apart and walk away from Christ. That's why it's important for each one of us to individually say, okay, I want to spend more than a devotional 5 minutes with God. When I think of that and I think of, okay, Michelle, come, let's spend 5 minutes at tea. Gotta go. Sorry, hold that thought. We'll catch it up tomorrow for our next 5 minutes. You see the absurdity in our own culture that you can spend a devotional time that's 5-10 minutes with God and that's good enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you want to be a person who can walk in this world to direct people to Jesus, spend more time with God so you know what God's heart is about. That you can hear Jesus and be able to share him from the scriptures and not share opinions. So often, we get just surfacey with God and we expect the depthness of a relationship that's just too surfacey. And it's our fault. I just didn't want to spend time with him. I have other things to do. But that's not Paul, because he can teach against strange doctrines. He can point out, oh, that's not good. Let's redirect the people with truth. So Paul is sending Timothy because he wants to further the love of Christ growing in the church of Philippi. And he's going to be coming with a word. This section that we're in right now of Philippians 2:19 through verse 30 is kind of like an interlude where he says, oh, hey, by the way, I'm going to stop my teaching thought and I'm going to say, oh, by the way, I'm going to be sending to you Timothy and Epaphroditus with an expectation that the people are going to accept them, one, and they're going to continue to grow in that relationship with Jesus. I'm sending them to you for encouragement to continue to grow. It's kind of like why Jim came. I want to encourage the people who want to grow, who want to spend time with the Lord. This is how you can do it. If you have questions, here it is. Ask them to somebody who's been studying the word in depth in the original languages for 40 years. And up to this point, Paul has been encouraging the church to continue doing these things. And I'm going to read off some of the things that we have studied over the last year and a half. Some of these pivotal points in the last year and a half. Now, here's the question we need to ask ourselves over this last, because Paul is sending Timothy to continue on and encourage these aspects. And then when they continue on in verse 3, it's going to be those as well. This is what we've studied over the last year and a half. Live a life worthy of the gospel. Being firm in one spirit and in one mind, the mind of God. Striving for the faith of the gospel, one purpose. Believing and being willing to suffer for the Messiah. Be in relationship with God through the Spirit. Love with God's love through the Spirit. Don't choose to be selfish. Look at each other as more important than yourself. Take care of yourself. Be humble like Jesus. Serve. Be obedient unto God unto death. Give God the glory for all the transformation that He's doing in your life so that you can live for Him. Don't grumble or dispute or argue. Hold on to Jesus faithfully to the end. And then last week, being poured out continually as a drink offering, which sacrificing yourself for others like Jesus did. And in that verse, I'm being poured out continually as a drink offering. I'm not holding back. I'm continually being poured out, is what Paul shares with us on that verse 17. Interesting, isn't it? Just as synopsis of what we have been studying over the last year and a half. They're on the website if you want to go back and look at any of them. Got a few more to be putting up there. But that's what we've been studying over the last year and a half. If you're not growing in those areas, friends, Timothy would come to share and say, why not? What's wrong? Something's wrong. What is it that you're not continually growing in those areas? You want to grow deep with Christ? Review those areas. Am I growing with you, Lord? What have I stopped? What have I stopped you with? Have I just been too complacent? So are you growing in these areas? Has life's distractions kept my mind off of the simple truths that God teaches us every Sunday? That's why I give the notebook. Take what God's teaching you today. If He speaks one phrase to you, take that phrase and spend time with Him throughout the week. What is He driving into your life? If He's teaching you more, the depthness of going deeper than what we talk about on Sunday, let God continually grow that into you. But don't let life's distractions keep your mind off of serving Him in those areas. Because once that starts to take place, wow, I'm not letting God transform my life. So if you are like Paul hopes, like the Philippians, that he hopes for the Philippians, and you're growing in your relationship, dying to self through the sacrifices to follow Christ and serving others, awesome. Timothy's going to be able to go back to Paul and say, Paul, the things that you've taught them, they're listening. They're letting the Holy Spirit transform their lives. They're letting God move in their lives. They said, this is not about me anymore. It's about you. And I'm going to let you do it in my life. Paul, be of joy. Be of great courage. You did not walk in vain. Your words have sank through the Holy Spirit touching their lives. It's important to understand that Paul's hoping for that continual depthness. But it's a natural tendency for the sinful flesh to look, to list out these characteristics and just check them off one by one. Paul, yeah, I did that. I did that one, Paul. I did that one, Paul. But it's a wrong way to approach if you look back over the list and say, have I done that? Have I done that? Have I done that? I'm successful. Because it's a surrender. It's a continual surrender, that pouring out. I need the Holy Spirit to move in my life every single day. I think we'll stop there today, at that moment there. Because it continues on with another thought that we'll continue on in next week. Because I believe the Lord wants us to not skip over what I've already taught you. Don't be like the Philippians in the church that miss it. Be like the Philippians in the church that catch it and they let God move in their lives. this week as you depart for the week, think about this. Who could I mentor? Who could I speak into? Who could I ask to walk alongside me so I can share something with? I love the fact that Donnie and Susie have a gift of playing music, and they said, hey, you know what? I'm going to mentor kids to play music. I'm going to give them the opportunity. We might think of the word mentorship or coaching or discipling, being that discipler is something that's just too overwhelming. It's really simply just saying, you know what, I have something that might be a little bit more than what you have, and I'm going to pass it on to you. And then when you're able to do it, share it with somebody else. So these kids are going to come and learn how to play the guitar. Down the road, they're going to learn how to play the guitar, and they're going to say, hey, I know how to play it. You know, I'll teach you. I had some friends who taught me at church. They spent time with me and did that. And they taught me that I'm not playing for me, I'm playing for Jesus. And if he's going to be the one who's going to bless my giftings. Like he did when they built the tabernacle. He gave gifts, talents on how to put things together. God does that. He gives it to us. So they're sharing these truths with these kids. And they're passing on truth. And they're saying, I'll walk with you and I'll talk with you. How's your day going? What's going on? They're just investing their lives into people. And doesn't that sound a little bit easier to do? Just invest your life in somebody else. And eventually your relationship is going to develop with that person. You're going to be able to speak into them. Because Jesus is all about relationships. He spent time with 12 and others who walked along with him. And he got to know him deeply so he could speak into him. Who do you know deeply? And who do you want to know deeply so you can speak into their lives as they allow you to do that? Think about that this week. Who does God want me to touch and speak into? Lord, I thank you that you have given us an example in Paul and Timothy, that the sharing you with other people, how to walk with somebody, how to pass on truth to other people, how to be able to somebody you can talk with and ask questions and dig deeper in. Paul didn't have all the answers, but he had a direction, and he had an openness and a willingness to share whatever he knew with Timothy, Silas, and all the others that he had walk with him. Lord, help us to be with people of the same mind and same heart so we can pass your truth and your love to others around us. Pray this in your name, Jesus.